Hello, this is Machine. You're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 119, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 8:25 p.m. Central Standard Time. August 22nd, 2018. My name is Tim. Hello. How are you? I will be one of your hosts for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, except for last week, Anuj. Anuj is back.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
How was your trip?
It was good, man. Really, really enjoyed it. Yellowstone was quite the trip in general. I mean, it was just a cool, something unique. Hadn't seen it before. Really enjoyed it. Was with the family. And then hit up Jackson Hole for a few days, and it was a fun place to be. Ate well. Did a lot of hiking. Can't complain.
Sounds great.
Didn't work. It was wonderful. Didn't work.
How did you get on your computer?
Did you fight a bear?
Man, with World of Warcraft releasing last week, I'm not going to lie. That was one of the most difficult trips.
Poor timing. And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hello, guys. What's up?
Hello. I won't lie to you. This will be the best episode ever. We are going to have e-news at the end, as always. We are going to have a little bit of a grab bag discussion about what makes certain esport games successful. We don't really have a direction for the conversation. We're going to kind of wing it. We'll see how it goes, but I hope you enjoy it. I think it will be a good discussion, though. Basically sparking off of the NBA 2K League wrapping up this weekend, kind of got us thinking about how certain games have stuck around and how new games are finding success in this massive world of esports. We're going to talk some Call of Duty. The rare Call of Duty appearance on the Center Ring will make its, I would say, very rare appearance. But before we get into that, be sure to hit us up on all social media. Our Twitter at The Center Ring. Website, tcr.gg. You can see all of the... Our Discord is on there, Instagram, anything that you can think of. So be sure you follow us on Twitter and join our Discord and be part of the discussion. I do have a few show announcements, or plugs, I should say. First off, I don't think we're going to do a show next week. I am out of town. I am on vacation this time, so we'll see what happens with that. But don't expect a show next week. What else do we have here? Oh, I'm going to say this now. It's weird starting the show off like this, but I will forget if I don't, so just bear with me. Is if you like CSGO, and if you like brackets and challenges and winning things to be decided, we do have that in store for you. I think I mentioned it the last couple of episodes where we're working with a website to work on that. I think it is almost pretty much good to where I can share it. It's with the website. I don't know how to say the name. Chalone? Chalon? Do you know how to say it?
Chalone.
Chalone?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's English that I just don't know how to say. It's a pretty nice website, though. It's actually really neat. I've used it before. You can make brackets and tournaments and everything like that for your own local esporting event. But they were super nice enough to set us up for the upcoming CSGO major, and they're setting everything up. Like, you could pretty much use our Center Ring bracket for your one stop. You want to see stats, you want to see who won, how by how much, all that you can find on our bracket. So I'll send the link out on our Twitter here. During the Swiss rounds, which is Challenger and New Legend.
Oh gosh, we're supposed to remember the names.
The first two stages, it's just going to be information. when it gets to the bracket stage, that's when you'll be able to actually fill out a bracket, predict winners, and we'll do something for the winner. We haven't decided yet, but it will be something well worth your while. So be sure and keep an eye on our Twitter at the Center Ring for that. What else is on the list? Oh, I want to do a sweet plug here for all of our DFW listeners. For those who listen in Dallas and the surrounding areas, in Irving, what are the dates here? September 22nd and 23rd at the Irving Convention Center, OP Live Dallas will be held. I will be there for sure. Brett, I think you're going to be out of town. Anuj is to be determined.
He should make it happen.
But again, we are big supporters on the show for local esports events, especially when they're in our own area in Dallas, Texas. It's a, I don't want to say esports convention. Maybe that's not the right word, but they'll have tournaments there. There'll be professionals. Dallas Fuel is also running this thing. So you know they're going to have a heavy hand in it. So go check that out at oplivedallas.com. If you're in the area, you can buy tickets. I'm pretty sure they're cheap. Like 15, 20 bucks. Super, super reasonable price if you need to go and get your esports fix in person.
Can I do another local plug if we're doing that?
Of course.
That one for us. Java Gaming Cafe. I know we've mentioned them before, but Java Gaming Cafe, I believe, where are they at? Carrollton? I think they're in Carrollton. They are doing their first collegiate CSGO tournament. Actually got some pretty legit sponsors behind them. MSI, Corsair, Zoe, who makes BenQ. These guys are hosting a $6,000 prize pool tournament September 15th and 16th. There is an entry fee to play. I believe it's $500 per team. So you can go directly to their website, but Java Gaming Cafe has done some really cool local tournaments and always worked on building the esports scene up. So if you guys are interested, check that out. That's coming up in just a few weeks here.
So by collegiate, you just mean like collegiate age, or is there going to be actually like college teams there? Because I just read something today where UT Dallas is starting an esports program as well, which
I don't think it's just collegiate, like actual school-based teams. I'm thinking it's like maybe students who sign up, because they need people to sign up with the $500 entry fee. So I don't think it's going to be associated to the universities, but a lot of universities have teams who might be interested, and a lot of students, obviously,
and they're not,
as well.
You know, like tied to NCC rules, right? So it's like they could do it for money and just be fine. And if the school wants to represent it, I don't think that's against any rules at the moment, because it's not.
Well, because, you know, when we did that thing with Midland said that they were doing like third party stuff as well, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, like joining the fans.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Check that out.
That's pretty cool. And I will say this, we do really love local support. So even if you're not in the Dallas area, but especially if you're in the Dallas area, if you ever need anything plugged or anything like that, let us know. And we'll do what we can to support it. I forget the name of the very first LAN center over here in Dallas. It was like 2 years ago when we started the podcast. And I met one of the listeners at a Slipknot concert, or one of the guys who work there. I met him at a Slipknot concert because I was wearing my Cloud Nine shirt, and he noticed
so edgy.
It, right? And so he was like, "Yeah, you know, I work at this like LAN center, internet cafe, whatever the kids call it nowadays. I called it a LAN center, but I don't think that's a."
It was the original Pornhub.
I think they call them gaming cafes now, and. He's like, "Yeah, we do this local tournament and stuff. We'd love for you to shout it out and talk about it." And me and Brandon and I, rest in peace. We were gonna.
He's not dead, Tim.
He is to me. We were going to go and like be a part of it, right? But something happened. We couldn't go to the tournament. I forget why. And then all of a sudden, we see on Reddit, ABC Internet Cafe hasn't paid out so many X tournaments, and it was the cafe that we were like pimping out on the podcast. And all of a sudden, like, we like try to message the dude, like, "Hey man, what's going on here?" Like,
radio silence,
nothing. He stopped talking to me. He deleted me off of Steam. And then went to the website was gone for this internet cafe. I forget the name of it.
If we're going to plug you guys out there, please make sure you're not going to screw us.
Don't be dirty. Yeah.
Don't be that guy. Nobody likes that guy.
I will still pimp it out up to the point, but we were like, huh, what a small world. Like, okay, we're not expecting that one. Okay. We do not, just because we retweet it does not mean we endorse it. So, but nonetheless, if you do have a local thing going on for esports, let us know. All right, so let's get into the show, though, shall we? That was a nice little different way to start it. Over the weekend, you had a lot of busy weekend for esports, I should say.
One of the busiest we've had.
Weird is it didn't involve Overwatch or Counter-Strike.
Nope. Yeah.
They have both been taken and off. I mean, you had a little bit of Overwatch World Cup if you cared to watch the group stages. Counter-Strike is in basically silent hibernation mode until the major. There's no tournaments between now and then, I don't think.
Feels like it's been a while.
At least none that matters.
Odd to say. Yeah.
So teams, roster lock has been in place now, and teams, I'm sure, are scrimming and everything there. So it's pretty much radio silence in the Counter-Strike world, or at least the Tier 1, Tier 2 Counter-Strike world. But in their absence, you had Rainbow Six Siege Paris Major, World Cup for Overwatch. You had the TI start. The group stages started over the weekend, and now we're in the bracket stage.
COD.
Oh, yeah. Call of Duty, which we're about to talk about. So it was a busy, busy weekend. And if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know, we typically talk about Counter-Strike and Overwatch and just, you know, your general esports discussion. We don't dive too far into Call of Duty or anything like that. Doesn't mean we don't watch it. We just, you know, we just don't talk about it.
There's a lot going on.
lot to talk about.
Yes. Yeah, so.
And I don't watch every Call of Duty. You know, game. They play a lot, especially during the regular season. It's every day. It's a lot. It's a lot to watch. But I'll be damned if they don't put on, in my opinion, when it's a major, when it's a world championship finals, I would put Call of Duty against any top esports out there for entertainment value. I don't know if it's the players talking smack on stage or the fact that it is free reign. Like, it is, anyone can take it. You know, what's happened in the previous season or anything like that, none of that matters. And it always seems to be really, really close matches.
It's like the Super Bowl, but everybody's invited. And that's what makes it so cool, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the championship Sunday, but you have every team, and it feels like everybody has a chance, whether you fall into the loser's bracket, which we've seen teams come through there and win it. But it really has a lot of hype throughout the whole tournament. It's not like people are just waiting for that last day, that last match to see. It's pretty consistently hyped, you know, throughout, with a lot of fantastic games and great storylines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, from a viewership standpoint, I mean, it's fluid, right? It's fast paced. There's not, you know, it's 4-on-4, so that, you know, you're not having to follow around a bunch of players and what have you. There's constant action going on no matter who you're following, right? So, I mean, just from a viewership standpoint, yeah, it's
easy to follow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a real, like you, Tim, I'm not a real big Call of Duty guy, but I will stop down and watch this because it's entertaining.
It's even more entertaining when the top dogs and there's upsets very early on. Just looking at teams that didn't make it out of groups, you had Echo Fox, Splice didn't make it out of groups.
Weren't they in the championship of
Optic?
The last
Enigma
one?
6 didn't make it out of group. Optic. Yes, they were. And then you had Optic. Now this is important.
Oh, we were saving them. I didn't know we were doing the buildup. I didn't know we were getting them.
We were saving the worst for last year. Because what's funny is it, you wouldn't know this at the time, right? But when Optic was eliminated, the butterfly effect that what it would cause later on in the tournament. So Optic hasn't really been the same since roster moves in midseason. They weren't. We could talk about this later. I know a lot of the pros are very glad that World War II is done. Like, a lot of them are happy to see this game go away. Now, I don't know if that's a case of they just didn't win at it, therefore they don't like it, or if it's actually the game fault. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I had nothing wrong against the game, but again, I don't play on a pro level to really care all that much.
I just think maybe it's the Call of Duty traditionalists, right? That just wants like more modern type warfare, but right?
See, the irony in there is that the Call of Duty traditionalists you would think would want World War II, but we've gone full circle where we ignore Call of Duty 1 and 2. Call of Duty doesn't start
there's
there
just
now.
Two different sides to COD, right? They're not, they haven't really found that perfect in between, which they're kind of trying to do with Black Ops 4, right? But it's been difficult for them to find like boots on the ground versus futuristic, and it's like two different sets of players that perform well in individual games, you know. So,
and we'll talk about that when we're done talking about the tournament, because we will talk about Black Ops 4 because the beta, and I don't think we talked about the beta as much. So we will discuss that. We'll use this Call of Duty as an excuse. We'll use the championships as an excuse to talk about that. But with Optic Gaming being eliminated, all right, it came down to them and Evil Genius to get out of groups. All Optic had to do was win one map against Evil Genius. All they had to do was win one map. They ended the series tied. Or in groups. In Group H, Evil Geniuses, Elevate, and Optic Gaming all ended 2-1. The difference is that going into it, EG had to sweep Optic Gaming to get out of groups. Which no one, I mean, sure you might think EG could beat Optic, but surely I think no one predicted that Optic was going to get swept. I mean, all you have to do is get one stinking map. And then you're done. That's all you had to do. And then you would move on. But that did not happen for Optic Gaming. And they ended up getting swept by EG, getting eliminated out of group stage. And
the devastation on Twitter ensued. Oh my gosh. Thought the world ended.
And a lot of people were worried too. Now, the viewership for this tournament was actually pretty stout. You know, it peaked at 324,000 viewers. That's nothing to glance over at a peak of over 300 viewers is pretty clean. I could see here as far as average.
Pretty safe
viewers,
to say there's no Chinese numbers in that one.
Yeah, right.
No, what's funny is
it would have been 1 million.
So I'm getting these numbers from esports charts. So ecs.watch. And it's funny because they say with China and without. And for Call of Duty, it's all the same. It's like, nah, China don't care about this. Which also just goes to show that China's just a bunch of bots, right? The fact that no viewer is counted for these tournaments. It's like, okay.
Not one
Chinese person. But the average viewer for the World Championship was 116,000. That's not bad. That's
pretty
not
solid.
Yes.
For a competitive console game only. I mean,
and the thing with this is the way MLG does it, it's really weird. And I wonder if it's for the best. So they show it on MLG.com, on Twitter, and on Twitch. And none of those viewers are combined when you see a viewer count. So like MLG has like 70,000 viewers. Twitch will have 70,000 viewers. And then you'll have like 30,000 viewers on Twitter. So there are a lot of people watching it. But if you watch on Twitch, there might only be like 20,000 people watching it. So you think,
yeah, it might not be like
game.
On the top of the list when you go there.
Right. So I wonder if it's for the best if they should just do it on Twitch, because then you get, you know, I call them window shoppers. You get those people that just see like, hold up, why are 300,000 people watching this? Should I watch this? And then they'll get on to watch. But that's besides the point. My point is that everyone was worried that the viewership was going to drop as soon as Optic Gaming was eliminated, because everyone knows Optic, their fans are
they
insane.
Rule the scene. Yeah.
They do. And it's really not even just with Call of Duty, right? It's like any game you see, if Optic Gaming is played, I promise you that match has more viewers than any other match that day.
Yeah. They just have a loyal following.
Yeah.
Their
fan base, they travel, as a traditional sportsman would say. But they were eliminated from the group. So going into bracket stage, you had some big teams still. Let me pull up the brackets here. You had, you know, E United, Red Reserve, Envy. They made it out. They actually got fifth place in the tournament. But one of the bigger upsets for here was when E United defeated Red Reserve.
Yeah.
Okay, so that sent them off to the loser's bracket round one. And Red Reserve, you have to understand, was one of the favorites going into the weekend. Like, they were a top team to try and win it. So there were a lot of upsets here that threw things off, and especially and Rise was another team that was eliminated. TK beat them first round of bracket, and then LG defeated them first round of losers. So like right there, you have Optic Gaming eliminated in groups in the first stage of bracket play and losers. You have Rise eliminated, and it's just and
another big one.
Yeah, it's just you have so the stage was set for upsets and a team to take it.
And those are pretty tough matches back to back to play LG in the losers bracket. I mean that's rough. That's not going to be an easy task for anybody because they're no.
No, because ever since they got formal,
they lost their best player when they made that trade, right? Like for going back to Optic, that's kind of what was supposed to propel Optic back to the top was dropping Karma. Trading formal for Octane, who was considered at the time the best player or rifler in the game, and it never worked out for Optic, but for LG, JCap and formal playing together, they did really well, and that's just not an easy team to get, I guess, in that loser's bracket.
So now this sets up the bracket stage, and again, this is if you look at EG's bracket, EG ended up winning the entire tournament. All right, spoiler alert, they did. They did have one of the easier brackets to go through. They were on the top half of the bracket, and arguably so. They really didn't have that tough of a match up until Envy in round three, where they beat them 3-2. And then they were able to beat TK in the winner's final.
Which that was huge.
That was huge, right? That's TK hasn't lost. Team Caliber didn't lose a single hard point game the entire tournament.
They have the best player in the world. Kenny is like by far is just dominant, and as an SMGer, he can play everything, but he's just the best. So to see them lose there was big.
Well, and they haven't lost at all on hardpoint, and then EG beat them twice. So that kind of ruffled some feathers for them, I think. I think that kind of threw TK off in a little tizzy. They did go ahead and beat FaZe 3-2. And so now you have the rematch. The rematch of Evil Geniuses versus Team Caliber in the grand finals. The story is set. And my God, it was glorious. Just looking at some of the fun factoids before we get into the finals. The fact that EG was in the finals. EG had not won a single event all season long. Assault, who plays for EG, he's never even won an event in his life. Wow. And then he went on to...
I feel like he's been around MVP. For a while, right? Like,
Yeah. You've heard his name enough where you thought that he should have won something, but now he went on to MVP. They had to, again, 3-0 Optic to advance out of groups. And now they were in the grand finals against Team Caliber, who they already beat once. And Team Caliber, to me, was the favorite going into the tournament. They were up...
Apathy, man.
They were up 2-0 in the first set for the grand finals. And choked. Just choked it. Let me see if I can pull up these maps here. No, they don't have them on here on the Call of Duty wiki. I don't remember the maps in order. All I know is that for the first two games where Evil Geniuses ended up going 2-0, TK looked lost. They didn't know what to do. I felt like Evil Geniuses was really controlling the pace. And then all of a sudden... I think what ended up turning it over was a capture the flag. I want to say that was the third map to where if Evil Geniuses would have won, it would have been game over. But then Team Caliber ended up getting two scores right in a row, and then they got the first one and just completely controlled the pace on the CTF. But then the other two, is the same thing. It's just they got that early lead, and then you were able to control it. So they ended up restarting the bracket, which is just orgasmic when a bracket gets reset.
It's like the best thing in esports, right? Like when a bracket gets reset. That's what made the Rocket League championship that made it so good. And it's awesome to watch.
You wish they could do it for Counter-Strike, but they just can't.
No.
They can't.
That would take forever.
The games last way too long.
The finals would need to start on Friday so they could end on Sunday.
Right.
They really would. So the brackets take way too long. But anyways, they ended up restarting it, and The second match for the grand finals was not nearly as entertaining. EG ended up sweeping TK 3-0, and they ended up winning the Call of Duty World Championship. Pretty unreal story by EG to go and doing that. Some say this was the best grand finals ever, which is pretty cool because for a team that Evil Geniuses is a big organization, and I think they do have a lot of fans. But as far as like for this season, for this era of Call of Duty, they were not a fan favorite, right?
I mean,
they weren't. You had FaZe, Optic Gaming, E-United, and TK. Like those would be the top four teams that I would say. Maybe Echo Fox had just fan base.
When I think of EG, I think of like they're, you know, really good at like Dota and like other esports like Rainbow. They have a really good team. But yep. I mean, have they always had a good
call? They used to be bigger. They used to be like a good CS crew, and then they disappeared from Counter-Strike after a while.
I believe that's they really got his start.
Yeah, they really haven't done much in a long time. This is big for them, and I think they're in the TI as well and have a chance there, if I'm not mistaken. So it'd be nice if they could, you know, imagine getting caught and then following it up with the TI would be pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, I think for Evil Geniuses, what was big for them is having a player like Apathy, somebody who has been in the previous two COD championships against Optic both times, winning one and losing one. You know, so they had some experience behind them. It's just a different team, and I'm happy for him. It's cool to see somebody new step up in those moments and take the torch, because I don't think anybody saw them beating TK the second time around.
No one saw,
especially after losing 2-0. They're up 2-0, and then to lose that, come back and do the reverse sweep. Yeah, that's
because I feel like in that game, like the team that gets tilted is just downhill from there, right? Like that's a game that just tilts you and just like you lose.
Well, it's just I mean, it's what TK did so well on the first part of that grand finals. That it's a game that you can easily control the pace of it once you get the win or once you take the lead. You know, I mean, if all you have to do is win a capture the flag, I mean, once you get that first cap in before the other team, then all right, let's always keep a man back and play mid. And so it is one of those that can happen. But nonetheless, it was an awesome, awesome finals. But it does turn the page for this Call of Duty. Like we said earlier, I think a lot of pros especially are happy that World War II is out. Again,
they are.
Okay. I enjoyed the game, but I never played it at that type of level to really complain about it. I do know a lot of them are looking forward to Black Ops 4 because it is introducing more of the...
Well, Black Ops 3 was such a hit.
Yeah, and I think with 4, it's introducing that nice blend of futuristic but also boots on the ground, right? They don't have jetpacks.
Yeah, because that was the big thing. That was the big thing about the previous Black Ops game was the jetpacks. No one liked that because of it's hard to play a console game with an elevation change like that. Like, it just doesn't really work out very well. So, like, the boots on the ground is how Call of Duty is meant to be played.
It's like boots on the ground, kind of.
Yeah.
Like it's
just, I mean, they got the grappling hook, right?
The grappling hook. There's a little bit of wall running that you can do depending on the character that you are, you know, role that you choose.
But it's not as extreme as the jetpack.
It's not like they're going to be flying around.
And
so I know Anuj and I played the beta a little bit on PC. So we'll have that disclaimer.
That's a pretty big disclaimer, guys.
I thought it was okay. I remember when I first played Call of Duty World War II, I wasn't a fan of it. But then once you kind of start playing it, you learn the perks, you get the combination, you get the right attachment, the right gun, and then all of a sudden, you know,
it's a more fun game at that point.
Yeah, your eyes are open to, oh, okay, so I'll just use this one SMG everyone else is using, and all of a sudden it's an easy playing field. You know, I mean, Call of Duty is not a game you try to create your own strat for.
That's every game, right? Like, we don't like what we're not good at. And until we get good at that game, you know, it's not going to be fun, right? So it's kind of frustrating.
Then it's the best game ever.
And then it's the best game ever, yeah.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. I mean, I was indifferent about it. I didn't hate it, but I definitely didn't love it. I would like for it to be a little bit more of a slower paced, calculated game. It felt, you know, super fast paced to me. I still felt like, you know, with just the people running around through windows and the way that the movement was, I kind of like that World War II style that we just had. I definitely was a fan of the World War II game. So, but I can see some positives in this game also. The maps looked really nice. I do like the more futuristic weapons in the game. Some things will you'll be interested to see, right? Like when we play these games, it's so weird because you know that's not what the competitive scene is going to be like in COD, right? There's going to be 20 bans on things that we were using that they're not going to use. I don't know if you ran into the shock grenade, but that damn thing caught me 10 times and it like paralyzes you for 20 seconds, it feels like, on the screen. So the gameplay that we see now is not what we'll end up watching. So I'm curious to see how that evolves and, you know, what they end up doing, if it's going to be 5v5 or stay 4v4.
And they have that health pack feature in this one where, you know, you hit, you know, I think it was on PC like Q or whatever, and you would instantly heal up, and it was a quick refresh rate. Like,
oh my gosh, on the run too.
10, 15 seconds, if that. Like, you could do it twice in a gunfight.
It's kind of like previous Call of Duties on steroids, right? Because with previous Call of Duties, you get shot, you hide, you heal up, and then it's a gradual process, and you're back in the game, right? But this one, I watched a little bit, and it's like, I got shot. Bam. All right, I'm back in the fight, boys. Let's go.
Yeah,
it's, and I guess maybe that's why, because, you know, now that you mention it, I guess I didn't even notice. Your health doesn't automatically regen in this one, right?
No, it does
not. Okay, so I guess that's what they did. Like, they used the health pack to kind of replace
it. You're able to use it in the situation you want to. Yeah, did you notice the recoil system that much? I felt like it was fairly simplistic. I don't think it was that difficult.
I didn't recognize any pattern. I felt like I could still pretty much hold the trigger down and it went exactly
especially with
the
SMGs. It was like it was a laser still. So some of that stuff will still be tweaked and updated, and, you know, let's see what the final product looks like. I think this game is going to be super popular regardless of how regular game is. Well, A, COD. Two, it's not a port to PC. And three, they're going to have a battle royale mode in the game. So you factor all of those in, you're going to draw in a new audience for PC, you're going to draw in the battle royale crew, and then obviously you're going to have your traditional COD followers. So I think the game will be a success regardless of, you know, what we think. I think it'll end up doing well just because of that.
I feel like any game that comes out now, if you don't have a BR, what are you even doing? What are you doing? Like, our buddy Donut today just mentioned that Dying Light is going to have a BR. Like, Dying Light? Seriously? Like,
it came out years ago, and all of a sudden they're working on a free BR mode. But you know what? It's like,
next Fortnite, calling it now.
Let's get into our discussion.
Bold prediction.
Of the episode, shall we? Because you guys bring up, you know, it's going to be successful because of Call of Duty, right? And all these new games coming out need to do BR to become successful and all that. And we got to talk earlier today about the NBA 2K League coming to a close and everything here. And I'm curious as far as what we think these games are doing to become a success or staying successful. How did they find that? How did they find their little nook in esports and was able to stay there for so long? I know Anuj, you kind of wanted to let's keep it with Call of Duty for now. I mean, there are Call of Duty's been around forever, and yet it's always kind of had its what am I looking for? Like, it's always been relevant in esports.
Yeah. And it'll never go away, in my opinion, because, and kind of going into what we're discussing here, is what makes Call of Duty successful is it is the only competitive FPS on console. Mm-hmm. You know, with Halo being gone, I mean, name me anything. It's the only esports game that runs on console, and that fan base will always be there.
On that
scale. You have to go to a different console. Like, you have to go to Xbox to play Gears or...
Yeah, and Gears and all that is still at a much different level than COD. You know, COD is like the green wall of console.
But to Brett's point, I think what he was trying to make is with Gears, the only people who are going to be fan of Gears are people who play it, and you have to have an Xbox to do that. So not only are you taking your fan base and segregating it to one game, now it's one console, you know, with that game. So it's even an extra smaller fan base. Where Call of Duty, you know, you could the pros play it on PS4, and I'm still pretty sure that's only because Sony pays for it. But you have fans of Call of Duty on PC and Xbox and, you know, PS4, so all those fans could still relate to the game. You know, like look at Overwatch. Overwatch is the same thing. It's on consoles and PCs, and you have that crossover with fan base. It also helps, though, that it seems like other, like, Halo tried to become Call of Duty, and it ended up alienating the people who actually liked Halo for what it was. You know, so I guess in this discussion, you can say, like, oh, well, why is this game successful? You can also see why games have failed in the past. But
yeah, I mean, for them, their biggest thing is they've built that fan base so long ago, and it's just carried over, and there's that consistency there. So Call of Duty, I think we'll see numbers grow going into this season for sure. I think they're on the right path and are trying to do some of the right things. I don't know if they're going to do anything competitive with VR.
We will ever see anything competitive for PC?
No, I don't.
If you are, it would be the VR mode, right? But that would be kind of weird to have like their League on PS4 and then have like VR on PC or something.
Yeah, like it would be have to be a whole different league. You would need MLG to.
Well, and you know who tried doing that
charge.
Yeah. We can get into our next game with this segue then, because when Rainbow Six Siege first came out, they tried that. They tried to have a professional PS4 and professional PC tournaments. And then that way you could go pro on both, you know, whichever one you prefer to play.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
It's like putting the console on blast, dude. It's like you watch one product and then watch the other. It's like,
well, and that's pretty much what happened is, like, I think it only lasted a handful of tournaments, maybe like the first year of the game. And then people are like, yeah, it's just noticeably better on PC. Like, it's very obvious that PC has that better skill curve on it. So they ended up ditching the PS4 side of it. So you have seen some games try to do that whole console and PC fan base for their professional play, and it just doesn't work out. But Rainbow Six
is one of the most unique situations, isn't it?
I was about to say, that game fascinates me. Did you guys know I was a former semi-pro for Rainbow Six?
What?
Seriously? Tell us about it, Tim.
Did you guys know that? Yeah.
No.
I don't like to talk about it, but I used to be semi-pro for Rainbow Six.
Oh, okay.
Not a big deal. We had enough points. Our name was Operation Mini Hippo. You know, whatever. But top 16 is not. But hey. Anyways, enough about me.
How many DQ wins?
Enough about me. It's a game where the fan base and the Ubisoft has really kept it alive. Like, it's very popular on Twitch, right? Like, all of a sudden Shroud is playing it, and I think it's amazing how you can see a streamer help a game out like that, right? Like, all of a sudden, like, it had a lot of viewers. Like, it was popping over 150,000 viewers during its final, or then this Paris Major, and I have no doubt that's because Shroud started to play it.
Well, I mean, before Shroud started playing it, it was already like a top 5 game on Steam, right? So it was already popular, but it only helped.
Yeah, but it's
a big help because Shroud brings in a whole nother crowd that was watching him play whatever, right? Like, they were watching him play PUBG. They were watching him move over, you know, now he's playing a little bit of WoW and whatever else he's playing. But if Shroud's playing Rainbow Six, you know he's going to be good at it because he's just like a dominant FPS player. And it just attracts, I mean, even we tried Islands of Nine. We tried that other stupid fake CS game on Steam. I forgot what it was that you and me played that one time. Because we saw Shroud playing it, we're like, hey, let's give it a shot. I forgot what game it was.
I don't know the fake
now.
CS game.
It looked like a fake CS game. Maybe it would be in Donut.
I don't think I played it.
It's the game you met Clayster, right? Or is that what
No, Battalion. No. Battalion's actually really, I liked.
But yeah, I agree. Shroud helps, but Rainbow Six was one of the few games where the developer kept at it. They kept making updates to the game. They kept trying to improve the game, and it worked. And it's so rare.
They stayed true to them.
Yeah, they never
went
to like
copying all these other places. They didn't go to, you know,
make a BR mode all of a sudden.
Right.
And do all this other crap. They stayed true to themselves.
That'd be weird.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, they stayed on point. They kept updating the game. They made competitive changes. Made competitive balance in the game, and it's taken off. And I can't think of another game that's done what they've done in the last 5 years, where it wasn't popular to start off with. It went through a full year and a half to 2 year cycle of really obsolete. I mean, where it was nothing. Yeah, then they've bounced back around and they're a top five game in terms of viewership numbers, popularity. Like, it still has an active player base.
The fact that it came out December of 2015, Rainbow Siege came
crazy.
Out. And I feel like now it's really picking up. I mean, I had it back in 2015.
Yeah.
And I remember playing it when it came out, and no one played it. No one. And the game, quite honestly, was pretty awful. I remember playing it in beta, and I was like, not for me.
I was so pumped when I saw it at E3 the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be legit. And then I played it, and I was like,
Yeah, I bought it early,
not
too.
Not for me.
And it stayed, like, I played it for a little bit. It stayed in my library for the longest time because nobody else played it. It's a game that requires
a lot of
teamwork to be on point. And if I'm not playing with my friends and I'm just playing with random people, it's just,
and that's
it's
one of the
rough
things, though. It's like, Brett, you said that it is top five in Steam sales, but it was never top five in player base, right?
Yeah.
It really always had this weird relationship with the community where it was, it had its moments, but then in the highs, the lows were even lower than the highs.
Well, name recognition alone is going to get them sales, right? Like a Tom Clancy Rainbow Six game. People are going to buy Rainbow Six games. The player base wasn't there for it. Now, one thing I'm curious about is in the game now, does it come with all the operators? Like if I were to log back in, you still have to unlock all the operators?
You still have to unlock them.
I feel like that's a bad way to go, personally. I feel like you should just have every operator available to you. Like, why the progression system there? If
I agree, because it's rough getting into a game where I want to play Ashe, but my other two teammates, that's one of the only four operators that they have to choose from.
Hello.
So it gets frustrating. But at the same time, if they allowed people to just be like, hey, buy the game, and you get all these operators, I'm like, what the hell?
What competitive game does that? Like, I can't think of another one other than MOBAs. MOBAs is the one line of game where you can say, okay, you have to unlock characters, but that's only because they really want you to pay for the damn characters ultimately to play them in MOBAs.
They're free and, you know, they have rotations or whatever. It's
unlocking
model,
operators
which,
I don't like, but yeah.
Which even
again,
speaks true to the game staying alive for as long as it has, and the pro scene having a resurgence all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, having a boom where it's you know, the fact that it's still relevant with that system, with its flaws. I mean, the competitive mode is still in beta, for crying out loud. I don't know what's up with that. But
yeah.
It is. If you go and play competitive mode, it will say beta on it.
If you go into competitive mode, do you have everybody unlocked at that point?
No.
No, you don't. No.
How you only play with operators, have you?
Yeah. Anyways, that's something that's
just ranked.
I mean,
mode is all it is.
The year one operators are good enough to kind of go on, but a lot of the OP operators right now are like year two and year three operators. So it's like,
a little SOL at that point, aren't you?
Yeah, like we said, there's definitely flaws in that system, but nonetheless,
they're doing something right, ultimately.
It has stayed successful for what it is. You do have some veterans in the scene that I think we can even talk about, because games that are kind of living that same route, I would say, are like StarCraft, right? Where it used to be the king of esports back in the day. In Korea, you know, that was huge. You would see it on national TV, StarCraft tournaments. I remember that was like one of the first games that I played, quote unquote, competitively, was StarCraft Brood War. And for the most part, it's still successful, but not big. Does that make sense?
It's got its loyal following. I mean, you think of it as, it's got the Blizzard following.
Well, and you know,
always gonna be
that's
there,
what people
you know?
Will always fall back on is StarCraft, Heroes of the Storm, and Hearthstone. Hearthstone's popular, don't get me wrong, but
Artifact will be the next one now, right?
Man, they're saying it's supposed to be pretty good. I read an article the other day that Valve's card game Artifact is supposed to be pretty damn good.
Tim, I'm putting that on you to keep me away from it. I will not do another card game. It's I have sync, like no tip. Yeah, just right. please, I need your help.
I'm
on
the
this.
Same way.
No,
like I have promises. An addictive personality, so when I get into a game, I get into it, and it becomes expensive, and I already have games that are sucking my money, so like I can't pump any.
But the point is that with those games, you will always have the naysayers going, well, the only reason StarCraft is still relevant is because Blizzard is still dumping money into it, because Blizzard will not let a game fail. They just won't. But my argument is Blizzard has built up a fan base, right? And they are smart and use all of their games revolving around this little fan base they've always made. I mean, they tie them all in together. Like, look at Overwatch, right? You have Blizzard World, where you're still, even though you're playing a brand new Blizzard game with Overwatch, you still feel like this is part of the Blizzard family. You know, you see StarCraft, Warcraft references, and Heroes of the Storm. I mean, that's all it is, right? You get to play as your favorite characters. So I do think, like, yes, I'm sure that the only reason they're popular was because Blizzard made them. You know, if you would have told me, hey, here's a new MOBA coming out, and this is designed exactly like Heroes of the Storm, but it wasn't made by Blizzard and wasn't using Blizzard heroes, I probably would not care at all about it. But so, yes, I think that they're popular because of Blizzard, but no, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I mean, that's good for them to have that type of following, right? Like, if it's working, the game's been around for 15 years, it feels like, so... It's been there almost as long as CS has. Do you think RTS games in general are dead, though?
I think they're dead to new audiences.
Yeah.
I think they're dead to new audiences. I used to love them, and then you went away from them, and now you go back and play them, and they're just... They're different, you know? They're not... I don't know. Yeah, you got to be a certain type of person to really enjoy them. And for even, like, you want to talk about, like, on a casual level, but even on a competitive level, I would say that you're not going to see a new RTS become an esport. I mean, what was the last RTS you can even remember?
Age of Empires released a new one. They're coming out with their new one right now. It's about to launch, I think, at the end of the year. But you know what? This is not a little bit off the side here, but I played a game called Brass Tactics. It's the makers of Age of Empires, and I played it in VR. Me and my buddy Kamar were playing that a ton. That was a lot of fun in VR. I mean, if you have a VR headset, that's a badass RTS game. But yeah, in general, we say Age of Empires again. That game has just been a remake of itself for, again, the last 20 years. There's nothing new. Command & Conquer, when was the last iteration of that game? I mean, there's really not been much in that genre,
man. But it brings back so many good memories, right? Command and Conquer, we would have like LAN, we would have like LAN parties, like
those were the first LANs for us.
Command and Conquer,
my like, sure. Just,
you'd all be in separate rooms, right? So you can't see each other's screens.
One of my
and then
first
just, like,
real LAN parties was World of Warcraft, or not World of Warcraft, just Warcraft,
yeah, for sure.
It was a different time, though. A different
simpler.
Rest in peace, RC.
Computers couldn't do what they do now, right? Like, an RTS game is what your computer could handle. So, trying to play Call of Duty on a computer back then, it would be...
Well, and I think it's just the way games have been developed, you know? We are into the fast pace, in-your-face skills. We want to see headshots. We want to see crazy-ass team fights and abilities. You don't get that with an RTS, you know? Like,
it's
even
the,
with...
The cocaine and Adderall generation.
Yeah, it really is. And RTSs are like chess, so
yeah.
I don't know. It's
a
tough
different
one
time
to think that.
All right. I don't mean to stop down the show, guys, but your wife just outed herself as never watching the show. She's like, why is there elevator music playing in the background?
Whose wife is this, mine?
Yeah, your wife, Tim.
Man. And Tim's supposed to be the head honcho in this thing, dude. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's a 10% cut of equity right there.
Well, you know, supportive, I guess. But then so we were talking about, you know, RTS and that dying. We do have, though, like, new games trying to enter into the esports scene, and that is the whole reason how we got started on this conversation was NBA 2K League. The finals are this weekend. I think it's like on the 25th, which is what, Saturday? Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it's weird to me, right? Like, I want to know what their bar was going in as a brand new esport to see what they label as a success and how they're going to keep it. If you would have asked me, I would have said NBA 2K League failed. That the league failed and it generated maybe roughly, you know, an average of 11,000 viewers here and there, but now they are adding expansion teams.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I watched quite a bit, and when I jumped on, it was anywhere from like maybe 10 to 20,000 was kind of like their little average range of viewership on Twitch, which I don't think they were. I don't think they were broadcasting anywhere else, right?
No, yeah.
Were they broadcasting on consoles? Like, if you were in the 2K game, could you watch it live or anything like that?
I don't think so, no. But I think their thought that they're just trying to build off that little bit of momentum that maybe Overwatch League started. You know, maybe they just want to like, oh, okay, it's kind of working a little bit there. Maybe we can kind of build off that, and if we generate like a legit league, then maybe people will get more interested into it.
Being backed by the NBA would keep them afloat for a while anyway, right? Like, nobody wants to do a one-year investment. Mavericks have made a facility in their stadium, you know, for them. So a one-year commitment was never going to
Again, I think fly, this is think. Where you're going to see almost like the Blizzard treatment, right? The NBA is not going to admit this is a failure for, I would say, 5 years.
Yeah, you know, failures are... I don't know what they're making. Like, yeah. I from a viewership standpoint, maybe it looks like a failure to us.
That's what Brett and I were talking about today at work is, to us, 20,000 viewers is like, that's pretty chump change, right? But to sponsors, 20,000 viewers is quite a bit. You know, not every tournament has to have 300,000 viewers.
Yeah, and with this league, you know, it's a bit more structured. It's not as convoluted as some other esports like CSGO and where, I mean, it's hard to monetize, right? We've talked about this in previous episodes where, you know, CSGO is hard to monetize. And if they had a viewership like 2K League had, it would be mass chaos, right? Because they need that peak in viewership to be successful because, you know, as much Counter-Strike is on stream, but...
I think there's other ways they'll be able to market it down the line, though. Again, with 2K19, maybe you throw it on the game. Where just like with Overwatch, if you log in, you can watch it. Like, there's other ways for them to...
And I think
make it a little bit more popular.
When the actual NBA starts, right? I think they find ways to integrate that more in in-game. You know, I think they should have games before the actual game or like during halftime or things like that. That way you can actually get people watching and not have it in off season, which is, to me, I always thought it was a weird time. But the main point is when you look at all these, right? NBA, Rainbow Six, StarCraft, Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, anything game that we've talked about, to me, I think the common factor to all this is expectations. You just have to have the right expectations going in. I mean, look at games like Paladins. That game averages maybe 8,000 viewers, and I'm pretty sure they've paid teams to have pro teams in there, and yet they're still producing and operating leagues, and it just comes down to expectations. They probably just don't have that bar set so high.
Maybe that's even a topic for another, like a next episode, is like, how are these leagues staying afloat, right? Like, just digging in and doing the hard investigative work. I was just saying, hey, how are you monetizing this?
It helps when Hi-Rez doesn't pay their tournament winnings. Ooh. Always helps when you don't actually pay. You can't lose money if you're not spending it. But that was a good conversation, gentlemen. Now, we do want to get into some e-news. But first, and I don't know the best time to play this audio, because it's not really e-news worthy, but it's just funny audio. So during this last weekend, there was also a Madden tournament. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about professional Madden or what tournament it was, nor do I care. I don't know the name of the pros in it, or even if they were pros. All I know is that this was on the official Madden Twitch page, and Richard Lewis ended up tweeting this out, and it's genius. So this is, and Anuj, you haven't played the new Madden, have you?
I have.
Oh, you have? Do you have
it? I have the Origin XS.
Oh, okay. All right. So we all have it. So if you haven't played Madden as of recently, they have added this like new mechanic when it comes to throwing and catching. And for better or for worse, sometimes your guys just drop passes all the time. Like wide open, no real defender around them. They're just going to drop the pass. And it's infuriating. And I yell and I kick and scream, but I'm in the comfort of my own little office here and no one else sees that. So this happened on the official Madden Twitch.
This will be the first time.
Three-man rush.
Yes.
Yo, like this game is so goddamn bad, bro! Oh my gosh! Stop!
It's getting out of his head right now.
Like this game is so bad! Oh my gosh!
Some guy's
gonna end up in an internet meme if he's not careful.
It's okay. I called Maryland bad earlier.
What is wrong with this game?
So I deserve it a little bit.
I feel like he probably yelled at the refs when he played basketball.
Fourth and seven. This is it.
That's my favorite. Just the fourth and seven.
Fourth and seven. I'm like,
I need to see video of what is happening.
I know. I will tweet out the video because the video makes it just as good. But like when you listen, let's listen one more time.
Only a three-man rush.
Like right here.
Yo, like this game is so goddamn bad, bro. Oh my gosh! Stop!
Getting out of his head right now.
Like this game is so bad. Oh my gosh!
It's gonna end up in an internet meme if he's not careful.
It's okay. I called Maryland bad earlier.
What is wrong with this game?
So, I deserve it a little bit.
I feel like he probably yelled at the refs like when he played basketball.
All the while he's doing all that, the dude he is playing with and against is like right next to him. And he's just like looking at the TV, not acknowledging this guy's freak out at all. And I think partially because he knows he didn't do anything to have them drop the ball. That's just how the game works now. Like, the game makes it extra. I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, a skill thing or what, but the game just has it to where you drop passes all the time. And, man, but for that to happen, like, at an official Madden tournament.
You know what? I'm so impressed that he did not cuss.
I know, right?
My gosh. Like, he went with all the right words.
This gosh dang
and I'm shocked. Yeah, like, That's the most impressive part. I really thought we were going to hear a bunch of F-bombs right there.
It was the serious easiest editing I've ever done.
Yeah. Do you think EA went up to him like, you do that again, you will not play another video game the rest of your life?
Dude, he probably got them more hype than they'll have in a while with something like that.
Well, and maybe they'll address the issue. Maybe they're like, you know what? We acknowledge the fact that the catching is a little broken and we need to fix it. But man, if anything came out of that, it's amazing audio.
Yeah, tweet that video out. I will tweet it.
So look at it on the at the center ring. We'll tweet it here after the show. So if you're watching live, then I'll tweet it after the show. If not, then you'll probably just look on our Twitter sometime tomorrow. Let's get into some e-news, though, shall we? The Overwatch World Cup, it did start. Brett and I previewed it last week. The Incheon South Korean stage. Is that how we decided to say that city's name?
We took a show vote, and I think that's what we decided.
Incheon. South Korea and Finland ended up advancing out of the groups, which were the favorites going in. I said don't sleep on Russia. Russia did play well. They almost did it. They almost did it. But
that was as easy as it gets.
It was always supposed to be. And you know what? Really looking at all these groups, that's kind of how they all are. Which is probably why Blizzard doesn't pimp it out. I know a lot of people are like, how come Blizzard's not advertising this? Well, because it's not the best quality of Overwatch. I mean, let's be real.
Not until you get out of groups and then into like the
bracket stage will be different, right? That's at BlizzCon and they'll definitely pimp it out. But nah, not so much. So I think the next stage is coming up here, what, next week? I don't know which one, but we'll report on that. In other e-news...
Oh, you're cue, Anoush.
This is you, Brett.
This is you, Brett.
Oh, this is me. Hi, guys. How's it going? So, in other Overwatch news, Fissure leaves LA Gladiators. Everyone saw it coming. first reported by Slasher, saying that he was going to eventually go to Seoul Dynasty. That's where he wants to be, all Korean roster. Well, here we are today. He is now part of the Dynasty as their main tank. We'll see how it goes. I just kind of off on a guy that just quits on his team. I feel like he quit too early. You know, he's supposed to be like, close to being MVP of the league, and then
it's hard to say that though when he's going back to like his homeland.
Yeah,
especially we've heard this a lot about the Korean players. You know that they just get homesick, like they weren't expecting it when getting into the league, and now they've realized like, man, I am never home.
I am 10,000 miles away from home.
Yeah, right. It's not even like, oh, well, I'm on the other side of the country, or, you know, hey, I'm Swedish, but I at least speak English. Like, half of these guys don't even speak English from South Korea. So I could.
The only issue I had with this was the fact that when Slasher reported it, Fisher made a really big fuss about it. I don't know if you saw the drama that happened on Twitter with this, but like, Fisher called him out, slammed Slasher for reporting it, said, show me your sources. I mean, really put his foot down, saying it was a total BS update by Slasher.
Was this the same thing from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, same thing from a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I do remember. And I guess I forgot that was Fisher, though.
And then
that is kind of
Slasher has made it. Slasher has made it a point to let him know that he was right, and that his sources were correct. And good for him on that, because Fisher really tried to make him look stupid, and I think we made fun of Slasher at that point for like, oh, you know, is he just reporting it because he doesn't know? Or I don't know what we said, but I think we're all in agreement.
When it comes,
when it comes to Overwatch,
he's pretty on point when it comes to Overwatch.
But again, the player usually doesn't come out and put their foot down like that, right? Like if
they
the
just
reports
ignore
are,
it.
Yeah, you don't say anything and you let it sit out there. But
which is
he made
it
a point
to
go at him. So, into CS:GO, not a lot again going on right now. It's still a little bit of a slow time until the major kicks off here in London. But FNX, good old FNX, friend of the show, and his buddy Bit have been released by NTC. They're putting Horvy on the squad. The Brazilian scene is a mess. The only Brazilian team that's semi good is an American Brazilian team. There is it. Brazilian CS has done a total
what happened, man?
180 from where they were a year ago.
They were supposed to be like the chosen ones.
Like so much talent. You had it. Remember, you had LG, or who was it? I guess it was LG, right? Had gone to the major against Gambit. You had SK at the time dominating, and now it's just. I mean, the Brazilian scene is a total nightmare right now.
Immortals
so.
At the time. I don't know.
Immortals.
They shuffle jerseys so often.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep
or
track
wearing
of.
Whatever. But so, you know what's kind of weird? Dougie asked a good question. Dougie is a follower of ours on the show, and I'll make it a point to go check it out. But he asked a question about FNX's part ownership in NTC. I'm not sure if that's just related to the clothing line for NTC or if that's the actual CS organization itself, but... How that kind of works, because I believe he was part owner.
They changed names. They dropped NTC from their name.
Oh, did they?
They're now...
Are you sure?
Yep.
100%. Oh, so now they're a different name?
Now they are tagless or no tag, something
like
that.
Okay, so they just don't have a name yet.
So they just don't have a name. It's
okay, so maybe that explains with FNX leaving, he takes the branding with him.
Yep, so he left, and then they ended up dropping the brand.
I mean, at this point, can we pretty much say that FNX is not going to find another spot on a halfway decent roster that can compete?
He'll retire and walk off into the sunset.
If you are kicked from your own team when it's your own brand as the title sponsor, doesn't look good. You know, like even Papa John's got voted out of his own company here, so...
Yeah, and it's just a common denominator for every team he plays. He's the common denominator. It's like...
Yeah. He's the XQC of Counter-Strike. Who, by the way, was officially warned by Blizzard going into the World Cup, saying, if you screw up, you are done.
You're done, son.
You are good.
Yeah. FNX is... very accomplished in Counter-Strike, though. There is a little bit of a difference there.
Well, I mean,
he's accomplished in Overwatch.
What
like,
XQC
he's known
done?
To be one of the best tanks
anything.
In the world.
He's played one season, half a season of Overwatch League. FNX has won major championships. Like, there's a
night
and day difference. But what I'm saying is, there's not much of a comparison when you put trophies on the wall side by side. Like, there's a big gap difference here. XQC could be as talented in that sense, but again, we've only seen him as a pug star for the most part. He's not playing professional. I mean, he's not. He's really. How many people really care about that when you're comparing it to the Overwatch League? The league is what people are grabbing onto and latching onto. So, talent wise, yeah, there's similarities there. They're both talented in what they play, but FNX has won several majors and done that in 1.6 and been in the scene for a long time.
Now, we won't be here next week, and which is a shame. Because I will be at Harry Potter World. So, if you're a listener at Harry Potter World, hit me up and I'll come say hi. But it's a shame because the TI is going on right now, which is normally my favorite time of year. But we won't be able to just really talk about it on the show because by the time I come back, it's going to be like 2 weeks later, and it just won't make so much sense talking about the TI. It is the official largest prize pool ever for a major event. It broke 25 million. So I think now the TI holds the top four spots for largest prize pools ever. And it's just going to continue every year.
Every year. Every year until they do this for Counter-Strike.
Which is going to be never. Unfortunately.
Dude, the TI is so badass. Did y'all see the stage?
Dude, it's amazing. Like I said, they set it up to where it's the celebration of Dota. They do it right.
I love watching the TI just because I like seeing all the cool effects and the stage effects I thought were the... I mean, I thought that was incredible. I don't know if y'all saw the stage effects.
What do they call it? The virtual reality? It's not virtual reality.
Augmented reality that they do. They do the augmented reality, but even the stage was like, depending on the specials that were going off and what was happening, the stage would light up and affect that color. It was just so awesome, and I loved it, and it made me so jealous. I hate you so much, Valve, but... I really have enjoyed watching the little bits and pieces that I've seen.
We talked about this last week, where the Dota, or the TI rather, for Dota 2, is an amazing event because it pulls people like Anuj, who doesn't play Dota, doesn't watch Dota, but it's like the TI's on, and you're like, all right.
Got to see what they're
going
to do.
Let's turn this on. Let me see what specials they have going. They have great editorial pieces in it, and what an event. You also have some pretty big people already out of the event. You had Newbie being eliminated very early on. They were second place last year. Team Liquid ended up beating them. Fnatic was eliminated early on. Invictus Gaming has been. These brackets don't seem to be updated on the Liquipedia page, but I'm pretty sure VGJ Storm ended up eliminating Team Secret earlier today. And I think right now, as we speak, Team Liquid is playing PSG LGD. So that is also a match of the Titans. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. It sucks. Like I said, I'm not going to be here next week to do my TI recap.
We might do a small recap. We might still do
a small recap. I feel like it's something that we at least have to acknowledge, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, even if it's just talking about the festivities of the weekend. So, what else in E! News here? Speaking of, we talked a lot about Rainbow. They did have their Paris major over the weekend. G2 ended up sweeping EG. Actually, it was a very fun event, but that final was not. It was not a good championship Sunday for them. But, man, talk about a busy week for EG. You have Call of Duty, the Paris Major for Rainbow, and the TI. It's
a busy man.
Busy week.
Come back to see us, EG.
And I always like bringing this up when countries do this, just to kind of keep an update on how the world sees esports. But Taiwan officially classified esport as a sport. One of the big
Taiwan
things
number
here
one
is that that gives pro players an exemption from mandatory military duty. So they obviously it's something they don't take lightly there. If they require you to do mandatory military service, and yet if you're a professional athlete, you don't have to. So to do that, where a country as Taiwan is big into esports, I think is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
It's a weird deal. I know there are other countries like Finland. Can you imagine Taimu out there? Finland
France?
Has mandatory. Yeah.
Oh, you're just talking about mandatory.
Yeah. Can you imagine Taimu out there doing just like, you know, PT?
No. I cannot. Can't imagine Taimu doing much of anything. But I love him. He's a super nice guy. I've met him. Anyways, thank you for listening. That will just about do it for episode 119 of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Thank you again for listening all the way through, or if you skipped around, I love you all the same. Hit us up on Twitter, at The Center Ring. I will tweet out the funny Mavs player freaking out. I will tweet out the brackets for the upcoming CSGO major that you can follow and later pick. And what else am I missing? Website, tcr.gg. Again, we will be out next week, unless Anuj and Brett want to just do a show. If that's the case, it will be on Twitch, because...
It'll be on Facebook.
Or Facebook, or whatever. Follow on Twitter and you'll know. And we'll go from there. But until then, enjoy the TI. Enjoy life. Follow, like us, retweet on Twitter. And... we'll see you in the next episode. Later.